Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 23 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. If you have any questions about today's show or you'd like to hear about certain topics in the future, please feel free to email me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. All right, today we've got a special guest with us, Chris Schwartz, the strength and conditioning coach from the Ottawa Senators. He's going to be talking about looking at overall athleticism in the world's top hockey players. So we have some great conversation on that. Also, this is kind of a interesting podcast because we had a great conversation after we had actually wrapped up all of our topics. And so we have some extra footage, or I guess extra recording at the end, that I actually included in this podcast because it was such a great conversation and I thought everybody kind of deserved to hear that. So it's going to sound like a little bit of a bad editing job, but we're supposed to, I wanted to put that in there. I wanted to include it so that you guys could hear some of the great things he has to say. He's got a really unique take, and it's kind of refreshing in the strength and conditioning world. So we'll get on the phone with Coach Chris Schwartz here in just a second. But first, in case you still aren't familiar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, it's the web's greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning information, complete with material from the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength coaches. At HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, and webinars, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, a motivated player, youth coach, or a hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you'll ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. New articles, videos, and programs are posted weekly, along with periodic podcasts and webinars, and all of our coaches weigh in on the ongoing forum discussions. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or they can answer your questions directly in the forum. We know you're going to love the content, but if you're not completely happy with it, simply cancel your membership and you'll be out just a buck. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a member for just $14.95 a month, or you can sign up for the year for just $149. That's basically receiving 2 months free. Either option's a great bargain for so much material from the nation's top coaches, so don't miss your chance to be a part of the community. Also, you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at joinusathsc. All right, we're all set to get started with Coach Chris Schwartz from the Ottawa Senators. Remember, we've got that bonus footage after wrap-up, so don't tune out. We kept talking after we wrapped up, and actually we had some great conversations, so I wanted to include that in the podcast so that you guys could hear that part too. Chris makes some really fantastic points. He's got a great point of view. So without further delay, Coach Chris Schwartz. All right, we're on the phone with the strength and conditioning coach of the Ottawa Senators of the NHL. This is Chris Schwartz. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So we're just coming out of development camp time. We're just after Canada Day and the 4th of July here. So every year you guys are doing your development camp for all the new players in your system and some who have been in for a couple of years. And it looks like this year you had about 35 players in your development camp. Some guys were in the American League. A couple guys saw NHL time last year. But for the most part, it's the guys that you've drafted and that the Senators have drafted and are kind of working their way up through junior or college ranks. So with 35 players in camp for such a short time, 4 or 5 days, what is your real goal with these guys? Like, what are you looking to do the most in that short period of time?
Well, I think, you know, the new guys are trying to get some baselines on them to see sort of what their habits are, you know, where they are physically. Obviously, we have some data from the combine from our top, you know, our top guys, but there's, you know, from sometimes third round down, we don't have that data. So we're trying to create some baselines with those guys. With the guys, there's a few of them that have been there for 3 or 4 years. We're trying to see how they're progressing and also, you know, a little bit of their leadership skills because we'd like them to pull along the newer players or the first or second year players.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you see in terms of the guys that are coming to you? Do you find that
most guys have been working with someone and they're pretty well prepared. Do you get some guys that are pretty green and in need of a lot of help? What do you see in terms of fitness levels and training age, I guess?
Well, I'd say it's probably 50-50. I mean, we have some European players that are training with, in their own styles, and I guess it's maybe the way we're training is maybe a little bit different. But we've also had some athletes that are, have been training with, with trainers and are doing a great job, or we might want to make some tweaks. We might want to speak with them. So I would say right nowadays, it's about 50-50, where before it was, 10 years ago, it was probably 80-20 of guys that haven't really been training, trying to do it on their own or have their dads train them or their uncles or something along those lines. Most days now, most of the North American players, I would say, have trainers and are working with somebody.
Do you see a big difference between college players and junior players in terms of that? Or is it, are the private strength coaches are keeping up mostly with the training?
I think they are. I mean, I think we talked about before. I think the mandate's a little bit different from what we're at. Now I think these guys have turned pro, and making them better pros is probably not just about strength training with them. And I think most NCAA schools are doing a good job of that, of doing a little of both. But we had a few this year, a few guys that came in and they knew that they're at the top of the charts in the strength parameters and on the testing, and then if we go to movement, they're sort of middle to bottom level, and I think they recognize that it's all about, it's not just about strength and power, it's also about movement.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. I think that idea has come around a whole lot more, rather than just doing really, really well on the physical test, but also being able to move really well. Where you said the guys are kind of all across the board there, obviously there's going to be a bell curve with where guys are in terms of movement, but are you seeing now that guys are putting more stock in that they understand that, or is that something that's your job? And in this camp, you're going to obviously make sure guys are moving well before you fire away at them, but do you see that guys buy into that? Are there a lot of guys that are into that improving movement?
Yeah, I think we did. I actually did this year. We had an assessment where I did a non-specific athlete assessment, and we basically went out and threw balls. We had them run different routes and saw them throw and catch and move and somersault and cartwheels, and they would see a guy that is actually, he does pretty well in the testing, both from strength parameters, but also we're moving really well. And some of those guys are the guys 2 or 3 years ago that we said, look, you need to move, you need to do some of these things, you need to cross train. And they also see how that pertains to playing on the ice. A big guy that can move on the ice. We're talking about dropping names, but like a Mark Mathod on our team, he's big, he's powerful, and he can move. And, if you can put that on, he's 230 pounds. So, we were trying to, we're trying to really reinforce that, yes, get bigger, yes, get stronger, but keep moving as well as pushing the parameters of movement as much as you can, strength and power.
That's a great point. I mean, I think you see that so much more these days. I'm here in Ann Arbor, and we just got a new football coach here for the big school here in Ann Arbor, and they've given him all kinds of press because he's doing these quarterback camps where he'll have a jugs machine for baseballs out there, and he'll have guys fielding baseballs and throwing them in. He'll have them, doing a lot of other sports, and he wants to see if they're athletes. And this is something we see a lot more of these days too, is, young athletes specializing too early and wanting these athletes that, or they're looking for more athletes, like 2-3 sport athletes, that, that's sort of becoming a rarity. So, we do find that the better athletes tend to do a lot better in the long run. So that's great that you guys are putting an emphasis on that, at least shedding light on it. Like, look, hey man, you don't just have to be good at hockey. You have to be an awesome athlete as well.
Yeah. And I think, I did the game in this year with the team. I had a player that we were in Los Angeles, and instead of going to the pregame skate, we actually went outside and we moved, and I do this all the time when we play some games, and and one of our players could not throw a football at all, and he was terrible, and he's a really elite athlete, you know, and so, but he taught me that there's a lot of elite athletes out there. They're still elite athletes. They just haven't done the motion before. He'd never thrown a football. A week and a half later of throwing the football, he throws, you know, a perfect dart. So I think that was something that I'm trying to identify with our guys when we're doing development and speaking to management, is which of the guys, you know, they're not athletic right now at playing football and catching, but do they have the ability to? I think a lot of them have the ability to. They just not done it before. And then there's some that will just never get better because they're not elite athletes. They're elite hockey players, but they're not elite athletes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I love that and there's some players in the NHL that you watch them walk and you think there's no way this guy is an elite athlete, and then they step on the ice and there's just magic, you know, like some guys can barely pick up their feet, and then when they're walking or when they're skating, obviously it's a whole different story. You know, I heard your presentation out in Colorado Springs at the Training for Ice Hockey Clinic, the NSCA, and I was really kind of intrigued by your take with these guys, and it's right along this line. Like you have the top hockey players in the world, arguably the top athletes, although as we just kind of mentioned, maybe they're not the top athletes, but
right.
You have these guys, and your take is to let them excel. Like they've gotten there for a reason. Let these guys excel. Talk a little bit about your approach to working with these top hockey players in the world.
Well, I mean, in seeing different sports, and like I said, these guys are the top hockey players in the world. I'm lucky because I'm in a position, and some of them I don't need to develop. You know, I've got a couple guys on my team. Anybody could train them because they're just elite guys. But as I talked a little bit in Colorado Springs, sometimes you need to keep them in the fences and know what they should not be doing, know what they should do a little bit more of, and know what they need to do a little bit less of. Now, the guys that are maybe on not quite as elite as they are, as you said, some of them don't move very well. Some of them have, you know, some of them have a little bit of kyphosis. Some of them have different aspects of, and that's, you know, we're talking about the functional aspect of things. I think we need to be really careful when you've got an athlete that's 20, 22 years old, that's been moving a certain way, that's how they became elite. And then you want to change everything. You know, you want to constantly change their golf swing. Yeah. So I think that's important that we don't try to change things.
So where do you draw the line then? Obviously it seems like you're a firm believer in screening when they come in, since you're doing it with your young guys. So you're using some sort of screen. And do you let data tell you when to kind of intervene with these guys, or do you really just take a look at their movement overall and see what could improve their movement? And, you know, so where do you draw that line in terms of letting them perform, and then, you know, maybe this is something that helps them, or maybe this is something we should correct in the long haul?
Right. No, we still screen. You know, we have our own methods that we use in screening, and we want to determine that. Again, as you said, sometimes when you're, you know, statically moving or and then they skate, you know, I have a couple of players, if you see them skate and you saw them, there's no way you could put their, you know, their scores together with the way that they move. So, I mean, I'm in constant screening when I'm training them. You know, if they're not squatting properly, I'm seeing a foot tip in or they're having issues with their hips, we'll go in and correct it immediately. But I'm conscious when the movement all comes together that I'm not trying to beat up the movement, because the movement is still one of the elite athletes of the world. So, you know, do we need to get it? Can we get strides longer? Yes, I think we can get strides longer. Can we get them more powerful? Yes, we can get more powerful. I think when you start to develop and dive in too much to the mechanics of things, you're starting to interrupt the way that they've learned and the software that they've learned from age of, you know, 4 years old up until 20. But get me wrong, I got a great medical staff. We're in constant trying to change. But, you know, I had a person last week that came in and saw me and the issues, and they've had concussions. And it was actually a therapist that called me and said, look, I mean, you think this guy can play again? This player wasn't able to play any longer because of concussions. You should see him. He's in perfect posture. He has no issues. when he's in his perfect posture. And I said, okay, well, what about if he starts stick handling when he's got to sort of lean over and just feel the puck? And, well, we haven't tried that yet. Well, that's the way he's been moving for years. And you have to put him back to the way that he's going to move on the ice and then tell me if your postural changes, if that's helping.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, pain and injury is going to be a great guide for you, in terms of what you need to correct. Do you find that the guys are with you on that, or is there, is there anybody that gets into something like you mentioned changing a golf swing? Obviously, they're going to be uncomfortable for a little while. You're changing somebody's golf swing. Is it? Do you have guys that get uncomfortable for a little while, but then find the benefit of that? Find the benefit of the
yeah. To me, like I think I talked about before, I think assessing people is showing them that you know that there's a better way of doing it and there's a way to get there. And I'm lucky enough to have been with a lot of these guys. Like I said, I get them when they're 18 years old, been here for a few years, and I'm lucky enough to them to hopefully trust me a little bit enough and show them how things get lighter and become more efficient and how that's going to benefit them. And I think, the player, the new player is also looking, that they know there's a lot more mileage on the body now when it comes at 18 or 20 years old than it ever did at 18 or 20, because these kids start training at 12 and play 100 games every year for the last 10 years type thing. So I think that they understand that the benefits of, some of the movement patterns we're trying to give them, what's only going to keep them in the league longer, and hopefully they're rewarded for that.
Yeah, definitely. And, that's your focus on that is really what kind of grabbed my attention to talk to you about this. I think it's such an important theme now. We run the site, and a lot of what we see now, or, if we're digging up information, there's so much now that's swinging back away from the 10,000 hours in your sport and getting back to just general athleticism. I mean, there's so many people that are training and doing strength and conditioning work for basic athletics. I think things are swinging back the other way now, and we're looking for really great athletes. There was a great article recently. It was about soccer, about the women's soccer team here in the U.S., but somebody made a great point that playing basketball and playing soccer are both contributing to your 10,000 hours of spatial awareness or, other athletic skills. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great thing, I think, for somebody at the NHL level to not just be focusing on hockey. I think that's a great tip to everybody, like, hey, listen, general athletics is the base of any athlete, being a great general athlete, and then you add the sport-specific skills on top of that.
Yeah, well, I think it's like you said, if you've been an athlete before and you are a strength coach and you're out there and you're trying to pull things from textbooks and figure out how you're going to periodize and conjugate. And I think you have to, again, as I said in my talk, how I did it where I worked as an athlete. And as a volleyball player, I was able to train conventionally, but also go and play on the beach an hour or two after that to play beach volleyball. And I was getting that constant movement that I think and processing. But sometimes in hockey in the off season, I mean, these guys spend four months in the gym and never process anything. Nothing's coming at them. They don't have to especially be aware of anything. They're moving quickly through ladders and cones, but I don't know if that's going to equally equate to being great on the ice when it comes to camp in August or September.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest take home here for us is that it's athletics first and skills second, I guess, sports skills second. But that it's just refreshing to hear a guy in your position with the top athletes in the world still saying that we have to be athletes first, or we're looking for athletes first.
Yeah. If you look at any of the, and I'll drop the name here because I think he deserves it. There's a guy like Daniel Alfredsson. Daniel Alfredsson was our best ping pong player in the room with his left hand and his right hand. He was Daniel Alfredsson and Daniel Alfredsson 2.0. Anything that he did, he wanted to succeed at, he would. He had that athletic ability. He's a great scratch golfer. And those are the, you know, the European guys are the really the ones that, and, you know, I can go back to the days when I used to train Adrian Acoin years ago, 20 years ago. He was a great athlete. He could come out and play volleyball with us and then turn around and him and I would go play badminton, and he was a great badminton player. Or if he, you know, it didn't matter what sport, he had the ability. And I think, you know, in the day of age of injury after injury, if you don't have body awareness and you've never played another sport, you know, you've never failed, there's so many things that come along with the benefits of cross-training and being a great athlete across the board.
All right. Well, yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time with us. I think it's a great point to reinforce and can't really hear enough of this. But we're looking for athletics first, and not only for general athleticism, for just to mix it up and to keep competition fresh for the guys. It can be kind of a long grind, especially in NHL season where you're looking at 80, 82 games. So,
Well, I'm building a new portion to my gym with the Senators, and part of it is, you know, we're looking at adding, you know, a new hoop where we can shoot hoops. And we're constantly playing games, and that drives the competitiveness. It keeps things fresh for these guys for the season. They love to play things. Sometimes it just aren't hockey, you know. And so I'm gaining the benefits and the body awareness. Sometimes they don't know why we're doing things, but they don't have to always know everything that we're trying to try to do and get through.
Right, as long as it's benefiting them in the end.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well. Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I think it's a great point. You make some really great points. And best of luck to you this summer. And won't talk to you before training camp, but good luck with the guys and wish you the best of luck this season.
My pleasure. All
right, take care, Chris.
All right, that's the end of the actual interview. And now we're ready to hear that bonus footage that we talked about. This is just Chris and I continuing to talk, and luckily we are still recording, so we got some great conversation and we got some great points by Chris here. Sounds like a little bit of bad editing, but it's really important information, so I wanted you guys to hear it. So here's a little bit more from Chris Schwartz.
Awesome, thanks. I think we've been hitting that point a lot lately social media and on the site where general athleticism is going to trump a lot of other things.
Yeah. Well, look, like I said, it's also about these young guys, the young kids not failing too. I talked to a physical education teacher yesterday, and they're looking at doing something called, you know, run, jump, and throw, and because nobody can run, jump, and throw anymore. You know, they can't catch, they can't. They're just doing, especially in the hockey here. I should have said in the talk, it's just more about, you know, the combine. You go to the combine now, if you chop these guys off that are sitting on the bikes doing the wind gate, you wouldn't know, year to year, you wouldn't know who it was. They all look the same. They're all training the same. They all, you know, I try to train my guys. It's just not all of them are going to look the same, right? Like what's the standard of how somebody's supposed to be posturally when they're skating? Yes, there's a certain standard, and I don't want anybody to get injured long term, but I'm really weary of messing on the way somebody's natural movement is.
Right, yeah, some people are going to be more limited or have limitations that others don't.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But remember, hear what I said is, somebody told me this, and they said, like, if you look down on your players and you took all their numbers off there and took their nameplates off the back of their jerseys, could you identify them by the way they move from the 400 level in any stadium? And the majority of you could say yes, because that's the way they move.
Right. Yeah, no, that's really cool stuff. In fact, I might see if there's a spot that I can, if you don't mind, this little conversation afterward, I might try to slip this in through some.
Yeah, no, for sure. Anything you do. Like I said, we all think of our philosophies and how we support those, our environment that we're in. And I just know with my guys, I think people are, you know, I get some guys calling, I have a player right now. A trainer called into me and said, did you know that this chain is not functioning properly after the season? Yeah, I do know that. Whether or not that player wants to change, I mean, some of these guys, and this guy's a really elite player, whether he wants to change that because of the way he moved and he's achieved so much, is that going to hurt him? I have assessed that I don't think it's going to hurt him from anything. So I just said, look, be conscious of not necessarily trying to change everything. Somebody comes to you, you're going to see these guys come in. You know, they walk to the door and you go, oh my God, some of these guys are train wrecks, but they're the best players in the world.
Yeah, no, that
started messing with mechanics and everything else, and things can sometimes not be what you wanted them to be.
Sometimes there's good enough.
Yeah. To be perfect. No, that's exactly. That's a great way to put it. Sometimes it's good enough, and like I said, they've had so much success. Worked with Sergei Gonchar years ago, and Sergei did things conventionally and some unconventionally, and he had a way of doing things. And I just looked at the way he was programming and said, look, let's keep you in the league for a couple more years. So we did more. I actually had more corrective work than anything. And he was already playing tennis and doing all the other athletic things that we did. We played tennis at our owner's house. And we had our four best athletes were the four guys playing tennis. And everybody else wanted to sit down and suntan and do that. But the four best athletes were the guys who were playing tennis doubles. So makes sense to me.
That's great, yeah. God, I love that stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is awesome, Chris. You said your head.
Anytime, Brian. Anytime you need me, just give me a buzz.
All right. That's going to wrap up episode 23 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. A big thank you to Chris Schwartz for some great content and some great conversation about working with the world's top athletes and making sure that they're athletic as well as skilled in their sport. So thanks again to Chris, and hope he has a great vacation coming up here. I know he's headed out on vacation. He didn't get one last week. So this is Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Check back with us in a couple weeks to hear episode 24 of the Hockey Strength Podcast coming out soon. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com for the world's greatest articles, videos, and programs for training hockey players. Thanks for listening, everybody.